Now, head into the ring at a total combined weight of... the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast!
Welcome to another edition of the Top Rope Wrestling Podcast. I am Rick, and Drew is kind of staring at me. It's got big old eyes going on. What's going on, Drew?
Yeah, just trying to be as creepy as possible.
Well, I guess you kind of achieved that. And also on the line with us tonight, we have Jamie Stanley. How you doing, Jamie?
Fellas, what is happening? Thank y'all for having me so much. It is a pleasure to be here, and let's get this going.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on. I know you are here to promote the PWA's event coming up here in the next, what, is it in November, I believe?
Yes, sir, November 7th.
That's awesome. So, next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend. How about that? Yeah. I guess I should kind of keep up with this stuff, huh?
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. So, we kind of start off the same way with everybody. How did you get into wrestling? How did you get your start in wrestling?
Yeah. Great question. So, man, I was always a fan when I was a little kid. The height of my fandom when I was about 10 years old was during the Monday Night Wars, as was, I'm sure, everybody. Was a huge, huge WCW guy, actually, and was totally team Turner there, and was always a huge fan. Was a lifelong goal of mine to actually be a pro wrestler. When I grew up a little bit after that and got to high school and got too cool for wrestling after that, as we kind of all went through phases and wanted to actually be able to talk to girls, wrestling kind of fell out of favor for me. I was a huge football player, played football in high school and college. But when I was done in college, I was kind of there's a hole there that I was trying to fill. You know, I was like, man, what do I do now? And I just happened to be channel surfing one night and come across to Raw and was like, man, that was so much fun to watch when I was a little kid, you know. And I was like, man, I just wonder how hard it would be to even just train and just to go and, you know, take bumps and see how hard it was. And so I actually Googled it, and turns out that there was a wrestling school, which was like 3 miles away from where I was living at the time in Tennessee, that was run. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Wolfie D. Back in the WWF late 90s, he was part of the Nation of Domination for a little bit, mostly known for PG-13, though. Him and Jamie Dundee were in ECW and in WWF as well. So he was running the school, and I was like, shoot, let's do this. So I went and just was basically a fly on the wall that first day. And as soon as I stepped in the ring, I was hooked. And man, that was about 8 years ago, and here we are today. I haven't gotten sick of it yet.
You mentioned that you played football growing up. What position did you play?
So I played. I went to college as a linebacker, but they switched me over to fullback. So mostly between linebacker and fullback.
Oh, awesome! I was a defensive lineman, and then got moved back to linebacker. So
okay.
It's always interesting to see how like different athletes end up going into the wrestling business afterwards.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a natural progression. I think that if you have somewhat of an athletic ability, it doesn't necessarily transfer into like the entertainment aspect, but at least you're good with footwork and you're good at coming off of certain things and knowing what to do next, knowing how to counter things and just be an athlete out there. I guess that comes kind of natural, more so than like, I guess if you were just like a bodybuilder or something like that, if that makes sense.
So, how did you get started on the indie circuit? Like after you got out of training and stuff, how'd you get like rolling into doing shows and stuff regularly?
Yeah. So I trained for about a year, maybe 18 months in Nashville. And after that, I had my first show at the place that I trained at, actually. And it was against another guy that had just graduated school with me. So it was our first match for both of us. It was terrible. if anybody has that that video, please burn it or throw it away, or burn it and then throw it away. Yeah, that was my first match. And after that, I was, you know, every single weekend, whether it was in a pole barn with a dirt floor or a place that doubled as a car shop, or, you know, just anywhere, especially in Tennessee, man. Tennessee's funny because they have a lot of every single town has an indie. And so you can get work if you want to. You just kind of got to pick and choose, you know, where you want to put yourself. But I was hitting all the towns, and, you know, every single weekend I was the weekend warrior. So that first year or two, I mean, I was doing two or three times a weekend at least. So I got a lot of experience there. So I'm super grateful for that.
Speaking of all the indie shows, something we kind of ask everybody. Well, we'll start with the good. What is your favorite match that you've ever had?
Favorite match that I've ever had actually was just recently here in Orlando. It was against Drake Younger. It was at a benefit that was Bikers Against Human Trafficking. Drake Younger, he was a ref for WWE as Drake Wirtz for a little bit. Huge legend in the hardcore facet of the industry back in the CCW days and all the crazy death matches that he had. So I had a match with him in June of this year. And we were hitting each other with chairs. I went through a table. We basically had everything except for the kitchen sink. And I came out alive, so that was a big win. But that was super fun. A hot crowd, and it was after the whole COVID era. It was one of my first matches that I'd had in a while. So it was just great to be back and feel the energy of the crowd, and get in there and mix it up and get the blood flowing again.
Well, so we always talk about the bad with the good. So almost everybody we've talked to has some kind of story about like showing up to an indie event and either the promoter doesn't show up or gets screwed over, or they get there and nothing, like literally nothing set up. Like, do you have any horror stories?
Oh my goodness. When I first started in Tennessee, I guess you could probably count on one hand the amount of good matches I had starting out. Just because, you know, a lot of people take this as a hobby. You know, they show up when they get off of work and, you know, when they can fit it in, or, you know, they show up 5 minutes before bell time, which, you know, do what you do. You know, it is what it is, you know. But for me, I try to get there so early and, you know, take it seriously and prep and get in the right mental mind frame and just get ready. So there's been so many times where, you know, basically the dude's music is on and he's pulling into the parking lot getting ready for the match.
Oh, wow.
And so that is it's good experience though, guys, though, because you learn how to kind of roll with the punches, you know, you learn how to improv, you learn how to think on your feet, and I guess just make a lot of something out of a lot of nothing. So yeah, it was not so fun at the time, but looking back, I'm grateful for it.
So before we started the interview, I got a chance to sit down, and I know Drew's going to have some questions about this, but I saw your video on why NWA needs you. And I know Drew has some NWA questions, but can you explain to our audience why NWA needs you?
Oh, my God. Well, you told me this is only going to be a half hour. If I tell you all this, it's going to be like 3 hours long. So, quite frankly, NWA hasn't seen anybody that is more handsome, talented, charismatic, but humble as me. So when I step into the ring, it's crazy because like the ticket sales, I want to say double, but I feel like on the last numbers that just came out, they triple. So, I mean, I'm ratings, baby. All I need to do, and half the time I don't even need to step into the ring for people to literally throw money at me. You know, I can count on the times on one hand where people haven't thrown money at me. So I say all that to say there hasn't been the complete package of somebody who looks this good. I mean, I like to fashion myself and my facial structure as America's jawline, patent pending. So don't take that, please. There's still a patent out for that. And also, that can talk and that can actually wrestle. So I feel like I'm the complete package that NWA is sorely missing. And you can tell because I'm the only one that they're putting weekly vignettes out on, and I have barely even debuted. So obviously they see something in me, and that's greatness, that's excellence, and that's humility.
Much like you, I have a patent pending on American neck fat, but that's,
I love it.
That's
kind of a great thing. That's a t-shirt, baby.
I have kind of a two-part question. So, you kind of explained it in when you were explaining why NWA needs you, but explain a little bit about your character. Do you work heel or face? And which was easier for you to learn, mic work or the wrestling itself?
So at first, I was extremely concerned about the wrestling aspect. I wanted to put on five-star matches and be looked at as doing all these crazy moves and being just a technician out there. And then I took a look in the mirror and realized that I don't really need to do all that stuff because I'm pretty no matter what I do. So then my whole shift or my whole focus kind of shifted on more mic work, more character driven. And to answer your first question, face or heel, it's funny because heel, you can just go out there and be ridiculous. You can get away with whatever you want. You don't have to have the people like you or love you or even care about you. You just want, I just go out there and just basically let all everything loose and just try to be the douchiest, pardon my language.
Oh, you're fine.
Guy that I can be out there and just get people to hate me. I mean, my wife would say it's basically me around the house with the volume turned up to 100 and just being as ridiculous and as annoying as possible. So that's what I try to do. So that's a lot of fun because naturally I'm a pretty shy, reserved guy, but when it's funny when I walk through the curtain, all that goes away and I'm just able to let loose and let Jamie Stanley take over, so to speak.
And I know Drew had some questions about a certain person. He's holding off. He's holding back.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm holding back a little bit on that. I'll just
go for it. Just do it.
One of my childhood heroes, rock and roll heroes, is Billy Corgan. Have you met Billy Corgan?
I have met Billy Corgan. I met him in St. Louis this past September.
Is he like pretty cool to work for? Or?
Yeah. He's actually, I was very, very impressed with him. He was super humble, super down to earth. You know, you wouldn't think that with a rock star. You think right. He'd kind of be spacey and kind of out there, but he was very professional, very on time, organized. And I couldn't be happier with Billy. He's in the true sense of a word, he is a rock star. He's awesome.
Yeah. He did good stuff in his time with TNA. So I can only imagine what he's going to do with like owning the company. So.
Yeah. He's really taken, you know, obviously he's taken ownership, but you can tell how seriously he takes it. I mean, he's not a macro manager or a micro manager. He helps out and tries to, you know, do the big things, big picture, small things, you know, things that would seem inconsequential. He's just not that he needs to have his hand in everything. He just is so fired up and so passionate that he wants to help with every aspect of it. So it's actually really inspirational to just see him, you know, whether it's setting up the ring or, you know, putting chairs out or helping guys with their promos or writing story, you know, anything. He's just, you can tell that he has a fire for it. And that in turn gives the rest of the locker room a fire and a burn to go out there and just perform to the best of our abilities.
Nice. And also, speaking of promoters, how did you get involved with the pro wrestling action and Daniel Max Shaw?
Yeah, so I've been here in Florida for about a year now. Like I said, I moved from Nashville, Tennessee, and so I did some shows locally here in Orlando. The show that I wrestled Drake, Daniel was actually the ring announcer for that. So that's where I met him originally. And we kind of hit it off and come to find out I found out that he was running these shows and that they were super successful. So I've been trying for a couple shows now. And finally, I tricked him into putting me on one. there must have been something that he was feeling gracious that day, but he's awesome too. Another guy that's super passionate about his product and puts everything in including his pride into the product that he puts out.
Yeah, we've had a really good good time going to his events so far. We met him actually quite a while ago now at Mayhem on Mills, and we're supposed to do the first show and then had COVID cancel it. And so it's been an adventure for him for sure. Mm-hmm. Another question, just kind of going back, so you were on an episode of Raw Underground, and we've heard mixed things about Raw Underground, from some people saying it was the greatest time they ever had to somebody telling us they showed up and nobody had any idea what was going on. What was your experience with Raw Underground?
Gentlemen, first rule of Raw Underground.
Nobody talks.
Well, I didn't make it to the rules, but I just wanted to tell you that it was awesome and I really enjoyed it.
That's awesome.
No. Yeah, it was, man, that was an experience. So I did it a couple times, and the times that I did it, it was very organized, and everybody had everything planned out, mapped out and everything. But then sometimes the weeks that I wasn't there, I heard that they basically were, you know, 5 minutes from shooting and they had the entire show rewritten. And so, you know, people were scrambling and nobody knew what was doing what or who was even involved in Raw Underground. But, you know, that's the business. You just, like I said earlier, you got to be ready to, I guess, roll with the punches. And so even as, you know, an extra person that's on Raw Underground, basically you're just like, okay, where do you need me? When do you need me? You need me to get knocked out by Braun Strowman? Okay, I'll be that guy. So, yeah, he just it was fun. It was an experience. We'll put it that way.
I've heard Braun's a pretty nice guy, a pretty good guy to work with too. So,
yeah. I couldn't be happier with him. Super humble, very approachable, great guy.
Yeah, I have a friend who does some business with him, so. Always seems like a really nice guy. But yeah, I don't know. Did Drew, you have any other questions? Anything else you wanted to go with?
I mean, anything you want to talk about as far as your career goes or anything like that?
Yeah, well, let's talk about this upcoming show. So,
sure.
Yeah, so it is Rise of the Titans. It is Sunday, November 7th. So me and my party boy partner, Cam Stewart, we team up for the first time to take on, the Wild West, which is Space Cowboy Stacy Alexander and Outlaw Luke Curtis. How about those names, huh? So they just came off a big win. They had a big win against Task Force this last show for PWA. And, of course, they have the beautiful and lovely but very dangerous and the unstoppable danger Layla Gray by their side. So we'll have to watch out for her doing any funny business or tomfoolery or chicanery, if you will. So it's like I said, it's me and Cam's first time. Teaming up together. He's been doing great things over at AEW, and I've been, you know, trying to work hard here at NWA. So it's kind of two worlds coming together to take on some cosplay cowboys. So we're gonna whoop some butt.
Yeah, we got.
I'm sure you're gonna destroy them.
I was gonna say, absolutely. And we got to see the space cat or the cosplay cowboys last time we were there. So good luck. It should be a good match.
Yeah, thank you. They'll I don't know if they're gonna bring a bull rope or their chaps or what they're gonna do or what makes them space cowboys. Are they cowboys from space? I don't know, but we are gonna find out. But needless to say, me and Cam, we're gonna bring the party, we're gonna bring the fight to the good people of Sanford. This will be my first time wrestling in Sanford, so I'm super stoked. And I will promise that no matter what happens, we will we'll give you all a good time for sure.
Right now, I am definitely rooting for you, but if the space cowboy enters the ring on a rocket with a cowboy hat, I am changing my allegiance immediately.
I'll tell you what, if that happens, I might root for them too, bro.
Unless it looks like the thing that Jeff Bezos has been sending up, and then riding a giant dick into the ring would not probably be the most...
Yeah,
I mean, it could be more interesting.
That wouldn't be a PG show.
No, it would not.
Not at all.
That's right.
Yeah, so any other events coming up locally or anywhere? I mean, we have listeners all over, so.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually have a show the following weekend in Sanford as well. It is it's at Taps and Caps Lounge, and it's called Tapsgiving Fallout. So it's the a couple weeks before Thanksgiving here, and that's put on by Daily Wrestling, which is another Florida promotion, and I go up against the Hawaiian Warrior Keikoa Mana in a no DQ last man standing I quit match. So 2 weeks in a row we'll have tough matches, but they broke the mold when they made me, so ain't nothing too big for me. So I'm fully expecting to win both and look adorable while doing so.
That's awesome. I look forward. Actually, I may try and catch both of them.
Yes.
So thank you for joining us. We appreciate all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. And I look forward to seeing you guys at the show. And we'll connect down the road, no doubt.
Yeah, we'll definitely be
there. Did you have some social media you wanted to plug?
Yes, absolutely. So on Facebook, it is just facebook.com/TheJamieStanley. On Instagram, it is at TheJamieStanley, and Twitter, it is at TheJamieStanley as well.
Appreciate it. Drew, you want to plug our socials?
Yeah, you can go to Top Rope Wrestling Podcast at Instagram. You can go to Top Rope Wrestling without the G on Twitter. You can go to Facebook, Top Rope Wrestling Podcast, and then you can go to our website, Top Rope Wrestling. From there, you can listen to our older episodes. You can listen to other interviews we've done. You can listen to this interview with Jamie over and over and over because it's probably the best interview we've ever done.
You're going to want to
say that every time we have an interview on.
this time you mean it, though.
Yes, exactly. Thanks. And you can email us. Rick can tell you how to do that real quick.
You can email podcast@toprowrestling.com or just go to toproperwrestling.com and hit up the contact us link at the top. Or you can leave us a voicemail at 951-TOP-ROPE, and we'd be happy to play it on air. So let's get out of here. Peace.